You know there's nothing making you do this right now. You can just rest easy for a bit. It's not like they've asked you to put one of these together.
No, they didn't ask me. I'm acting on an open invite. I need to make something that gets folks thinking about their faith outside of the usual ways to feel like me again. It's been a minute. I miss it.
All right, then. How about instead you take a dick and not worry about content for other folks, huh? Catch up on your own stuff for a while. Or maybe even just catch a nap. Doesn't that sound glorious? Slip into the black sometime before 2 a.m. and maybe not feel so tired for a day?
It does sound nice. But after asking God for a while to give me the motivation to make some of the things in my head become reality, I'm not going to squash it when it comes because it's at an inconvenient time.
Well, don't come crawling to me when you hear a little voice say, "Let's wake up at 6 a.m. If we're up to me, we'd already be getting a refresh in the blessed darkness.
I'll take that under advisement. But God wants me to say something. And I was built for this. Hello, friends. I'm Mike Perna, and this is your Daily Nerd Devo. Disco Elysium is the sort of game you will probably either love or hate. Unlike some titles that share that characteristic, however, Disco Elysium has the courtesy of letting you know which one it'll be pretty much from the first minutes of play. The screen is black, other than a text box highlighting the words being said by two fully voiced characters. One is your limbic system. The other is a fellow they refer to as the ancient reptilian brain, who is encouraging you to just embrace the emptiness of unconsciousness because it'll hurt a lot less than waking up from this will. As the dialogue ends, you realize that your protagonist is lifting himself up from a drunken bender of such legendary proportions he can't even remember his own name, let alone where his other shoe went. And they are not the only voices you can expect to hear from. I loved it instantly. The story of Disco Elysium is filled with so many twists, turns, and alternate paths that I won't dare to try and share any of it in these brief minutes we have together. Especially if you too find that bizarre opening description as fascinating as I did and want to experience it for yourself. Instead, I want to talk about the voices guiding you through this game that is part point-and-click adventure, part role-playing game, and part examination of a very troubled mind. Rather than the usual statistics one might find in a game like this, you are asked to put points into a variety of skills that make up your character's psyche. While they will affect your successes and fails and skill checks throughout the game, they will also occasionally jump into dialogue trees with suggestions and side chats. They may even wave you off from the dialogue tree you find yourself in because only bad options lie in front of you. While most of these suggestions wind up with positive results, provided you succeed in the roles, it didn't take me too long to realize something. My character's psyche always wants what's best for him, but they aren't always right in their assessments. There were a handful of times that their suggestions got me in way more trouble than I could have gotten into on my own. It reminded me a lot of Job's friends when they went to counsel him in the middle of his misery. I've often seen preachers and teachers talk about how wrong and misguided these folks are, and those accusations aren't completely without merit. Much like Disco Elysium's voices, these men want what's best for their friend, and each, in their turn, give advice on how to move forward past his sorrows and trials based on what they think is happening. Knowing the story as we do from outside reading in, we know they're wrong in their assessments, but they don't know that. They are attempting to counsel their friend to ease his pain in a godly manner. It's easy to turn away from things that are obviously not from God, but what about all the ones that sound so close to other things God has said before? How can we discern the voice of God among a number of others that sound really close? Well, we listen. Whether it's for the briefest of moments or for months on end, we listen for as long as we are afforded the time before we have to act. We listen for God, consult the Bible, and gather some folks we trust, letting them all speak into what they think is the best choice moving forward. Even then, we still might get it wrong, but the more we are willing to listen before we take action, the more likely we'll be able to sift through the noise and find the voice of God. Just don't ever listen to your ugly necktie if it starts talking to you. That guy never has any good ideas. That's all the time we have for today. If you want to hear more Nerdy Devos every weekday, hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also come hang out with us on our Facebook group, The Nerd of God Squad. I'm Mike Perna for the Daily Nerd Devo. Until next time, never let anyone call you suboptimal.